And so, I believe that what God has given me to share with you will be significant and pivotal in your life from here on out. And I knew a few weeks ago that I would be sharing the Easter message. I knew I would be doing it at the sunrise service. I saw myself doing it. You know what I mean by seeing yourself? I was just sitting at my desk, and I heard myself and heard part of the message, and I knew that I would be sharing that at the sunrise service. And then after I actually finished my notes, I knew by the Spirit, of course, that Kenneth was going to ask me to do the service this morning, and then it wasn't but just a few hours. He walked in the room. He said, "How about you do that for Easter Sunday at church, too?" I said, "Okay." So, aren't you glad the Lord gives you the heads up? He lets you know what's going on. He doesn't keep you in the dark. Glory to God. Lift your hands to the Lord and let's thank Him again. We bless you, Lord, and we honor you this morning. We praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. I thank you, Lord, that what you have given penetrates deep into our hearts and brings forth freedom in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen. Okay, we're starting off. I removed one of my scriptures I was going to read. Do we have a problem? Oh, okay. Okay. All right, thank you. Let's look at John, Gospel of John, chapter 20, and start with verse 1 and read this passage. Most of you are familiar with this passage, but this is preface to what the Lord wants us to hear today. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came first to the tomb. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Verse 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? "Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and said, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Today I want us to focus on Mary Magdalene. I want us to think about who she was and what she had lived and what her role in this very magnificent and glorious event was. She was the first one to arrive at the tomb that day. She and the other women had gone the night before as Sabbath had ended and purchased the spices for anointing Jesus' body, the embalming spices. And I think she was so distraught that every step took effort. I think after they went and bought the spices, she couldn't sleep. She couldn't rest because she knew in the morning, I've got to go inside that sepulcher and anoint his body. She loved Jesus. You see, Scripture tells us in Mark 16:9, that she's the one that Jesus cast seven devils out of. She was demonized. And you may think, wow, that's pretty wild, somebody demonized. Well, that's actually you and I, not just Mary Magdalene. We don't know why she was demonized. Scripture doesn't say. We just know that she was. I have a couple of ideas. She could have been involved in the occult in some way and worshiping devils and demons. And you worship them, they move in. You give them place. Well, you don't have to give them much place. They move in. Or she could have been a slave who was purchased by mean and cruel masters, and they mistreated her and abused her and beat her. And if you've ever experienced anything like that, that opens the door for a lot of fear and anger and rage and unforgiveness. And so we allow things in through the gate of fear. The word tells us that fear has torment. And if you have ever felt tormented, you're dealing with a spirit of fear. That's the root of it. And at the root of all of Mary Magdalene's problems was fear. But there came a day when she encountered Jesus. Maybe word had been sent to Jesus and they said, come and help this woman. Nobody else could help her. All of the religious people couldn't help her. And Jesus cast the devils out of her. And from that moment, she followed him everywhere. Faithful follower of Jesus. She loved him. She loved him dearly with a great love. And he loved her. So it's this Mary that we're talking about. There's a lot of Marys in the Bible. And there were a lot of Marys that day. Three, I think. They had all been there the night before. in which he was betrayed. They had been there when he was crucified, and they had been there when he was buried. And now it's Sunday morning before sunrise, and they're walking to the tomb, going to the garden. I believe they were all weeping, dreading going inside to anoint his body. But Mary was just a little bit ahead of everybody else. Just a little bit farther ahead, and she's distraught and she's questioning, how could this happen? Because she had watched her deliverer become bound. The one who had set her free was bound himself, unable to be loosed. Don't you know she was questioning, why didn't he do something? On this side of Calvary, on this side of resurrection, we know why. He had to do that. He had to do that for you and I. He had to go through everything he went through for you and I. He couldn't have escaped any of it. Could he have called the angels to come and loose him? Yes. But he couldn't, because he had to make the sacrifice. He was committed to the Father. He was committed to go to the cross. So they're making their way to the tomb. And they're discussing among themselves, who's going to move the stone for us? We can't roll the stone back. Who are we going to get to do that? They knew there were guards there, so they probably said, we'll get the guards to help us. And you know what happened when they got to the tomb. The stone was already rolled back. And sitting on the massive rock was an angel. Imagine what that would be like. Have you ever seen an angel? I have. They're huge. They're massive. They're big. And on this stone sits the angel. I know she was stunned. As grieved as she was, she's trying to make sense of what all she's seeing now. The stone is rolled back. The angel is there. And he wants to know why she's there. Who are you seeking? And he said, he's not here. He's not here. He's risen, as he said. Her heart was broken. Her deliverer was gone. What have they done with him? Where have they put him? And she asked the angel, what have you done with him? Please tell me. Where have you put him? She wanted to go and retrieve his body and take care of him. She wanted to make sure he was properly attended to. And what did the angel say to her? He said to go and tell the disciples and Peter that he's risen. She's so distraught. She doesn't know what to do. She's confused. She's in grief. And she turns around and bumps into who she thinks is the gardener. She's face to face with Jesus, the risen Lord. She's face to face with her deliverer. Yet grief has so overtaken her. Grief has so clouded her thinking. She doesn't even recognize him. And he said, "Who are you seeking? Who are you looking for?" And she said, "I'm looking for my Lord. What have you done with him? What have you done with him? Please tell me. Please tell me. Where is he?" And then Jesus says, "Mary." When he said her name, she knew who he was. When he said her name, she knew immediately it was her Lord, her Savior. It was Jesus. He was alive. He is alive. Isaiah 43:1 says, "I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. Child, you are mine." She knew the voice of the Master, the Lord, the Savior Jesus. She knew his voice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And she began to declare, "He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. He's alive. He's alive." And as she ran to go tell the disciples, just as the angels had told her to do, when she ran, I think she ran faster than she had ever ran before to let them know he's living and he's alive. He is alive. The living and risen Lord is here. Just as he was there for Mary in the garden. Just as he stood before her and declared, "I'm him." She knew who he was. Just as Jesus was there, he is here. He is here today. He's living in me. He's living in you. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, he's alive and living in you. You may think that he's so buried so far back that you have put so much in front of him and so much ahead of him. You may think that he is buried, but he is not. He's very much alive. He is very much alive and living on the inside of you. You say, "Yeah, but you don't know where I've been. You don't know how it's been." I know how it was for Mary, and I know how it was for me. I know what it's like to be Mary Magdalene. I know what it's like to be so bound up by demonic spirits that you can't figure out which way to go or what to do. I know what that's like. I know what rage is. I know what anger is. I know those things very well. I lived there for a lot of years. As I mentioned earlier, I kind of think maybe she was so abused. I think she was so tortured and abused that it opened the door for all of those things, for that fear to come in and for that anger to come in and that rage to come in. And then she couldn't get loose. I've been there. Have you? We need a deliverer. We need a Savior. We need one to come to us and say, "Be free. Be free." We need the living Lord to come in and deliver us. And he has. He has. She became one of his strongest followers. She became one of his greatest supporters because she loved him and she knew his love. First John 4:18. Says, perfect love casts out or expels fear. I don't know what you may be in bondage to now or what you've been in bondage to in the past, but I can almost promise you fear is in the root of it. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And Jesus, who was perfect love, showed up to Mary Magdalene and cast out fear and cast out the demons and cast out all of the demonic forces that held her captive. Romans 5:6 says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. The Passion Translation of the same verse says, for when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. There's a very real devil who desires to destroy you. A very real devil. And his only intent is to ruin you, to ruin your life. John 10:10. I can hardly ever minister a message without giving you John 10:10. It is so foundational and it is so elementary, but it is so profound and it is so impacting. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that life more abundantly. He came for us to live just as he lives, just as he's alive. Come out of the tomb. Come out of the grave. Come out of the influence of the devil and live in the life more abundantly that he has purchased for us. Amen. You see, it wasn't enough that Jesus was beaten and tortured and crucified. That had happened to others. Jesus was beaten, crucified. But what happened then? When he died, he went to hell. Hell. He went to hell so you and I don't have to. He went to hell to prove that in the midst of the damned, in the midst of everything contrary to God, that the power of God and the faithfulness of God still works. Amen. Amen. In the midst of hell, what hell are you in that you think you can't get out of? What is it that has you so bound and so separated from everything and everybody that you think there's no way out of this hell? There is a way out of it, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus went to hell for you and I. He went to the very depths, separated from God. God had to turn his back on him. His father had to turn his back on him. Why did he say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he wanted you. He wanted you. He wanted me. And he was willing to give his son to ensure that you are with him for eternity. He was willing to give his son. And Jesus went to hell. And he paid the price in hell. And he preached and he praised in hell. Did you know that your way out of hell is preaching and praying and praising? I don't know how to preach. Get you a scripture and just keep saying it. Get you some scriptures and just begin to declare them. Declare the works of the Lord. That's what Jesus did in the midst of the damned. That's what he did. And in 3 days, the courts of heaven were satisfied. In 3 days, just as Scripture had said would happen, in 3 days, the Father says, that's it. Come on. Come on. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor over the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Glory to God. Glory to God. He was willing to make that sacrifice. He was willing to be separated from his Father. He was willing to go to the very depths of hell to save you and I. Yero sotoro sakamana kashesuso. Reseti kirimasko sana. Yatsika. Yatsika. Yatskombolo monoko bashkashka. Yor pati se son sansa. I ask you the question that I asked the service earlier this morning. What have you done with Jesus? Where have you put him? That was the question that Mary had to the angel. She even asked Jesus, where have you put him? The day that I saw myself preaching this, that was the very, very phrase that I heard the Lord saying on the inside of me, where have you put him? If you've ever lost anything really, really valuable, you search and you search and you search and you search and you search to find it, because it's very, very important and it's very, very valuable. Jesus was more important and more valuable than anything she had ever had. He was the most precious thing ever to her. He is the most precious thing ever to me. You've heard me tell my testimony, you know. 20 years of abuse, and you just get mad. You just get mad. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for deliverance. Thank God for people that know how to pray and get me delivered. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God somebody knows how to get the power of God to me. To you. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. All that were oppressed of the devil. That leaves no one out. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. Every single one of you there. Every single one. All that were oppressed of the devil. The devil intends to destroy you. He will use whatever it takes to do that. He does not care. You are not special to him. He doesn't find you extra special from everybody else. He hates you just like he does everyone else. He's not giving you favors because he likes you. He's destroying you. He is destroying you. So Mary says to the angel, "What have you done with him? Where have you put him? Please tell me. Please tell me so I can go and get him. What have you done with him? What have you done with him? Where have you put him? Where is he in your life? Where is he in my life? What priority does he take? Does he take priority? Is he a side thought? Is he something you, oh, yeah, oh, okay, I gotta pray. No, you get to pray. Oh, we gotta go to church. No, you don't gotta go to church. You get to go to church. You get to come in here openly and freely anytime you want to. Amen? Where have you put Jesus? Where is he in your life? She didn't want to be separated from Jesus, not for a moment. She didn't want to be away from him, not for a moment. She wanted him constantly in her life. I understand that. I understand that so well. There have been times I have felt so alone. You have too. But I've never been alone. Not one time. Not one time have I ever been alone. Because the greater one lives in me. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And as alone as you might feel, and as abandoned and neglected and rejected and left out and excluded as you might feel, you are not, because Jesus is in you. And your way out of that hell, the way out of the hell and the bondage, is the same way that Jesus came up out of that hell. And it is by the preaching of the word out of your mouth. Your mouth. Not mine, yours. Preach yourself out of the hell. Praise yourself out of the hell. Well, I tried that and I stood before God for 10 minutes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And nothing happened. I didn't feel any better. That's no sacrifice. Really, that's no sacrifice. Number one, you're waiting to feel better rather than declaring the goodness of God because he is. You don't have to feel like God is good. There's going to be a whole lot of time you don't feel like God is good. It may feel like God walked off and forgot where you were. I said that many times in years past. I got really not happy with the Lord for a while. Pastor Cindy, yes, I was just plain old mad. And I said to him, I said, "What have I done to you that you did this to me?" Is that not pride and arrogance? I mean, really? It is. What have I done to you that you would do this to me? And I saw it as a punishment. I saw what he had required of me as a punishment rather than a blessing. You know, God has a way of getting your attention on perspective and helping you distinguish what really is him and what's not and what's your flesh. Most of us are just after comfort. I said that before church. These days, all I'm after is being comfortable. I don't care about pretty, just make me comfortable. Most of us are after comfort. I wanted a comfortable place, a place with no struggle. As long as you're on this earth, you're going to struggle over something. You're going to have a struggle over something. As long as you're on this earth, you're going to fight something. But you've got to decide who you're going to get to fight with you. Who you're going to have on your side. And who's going to join you in this fight. And the way you're going to do it is determining that the Word of God is more valid than anything I ever feel. The Word of God is more real than anything I think. The Word of God is more real than my flesh. The Word of God is more real than my circumstances. The Word of God is my salvation. Amen? So what have you done with Jesus? Where have you put him? Where have you put him? I would say that most of you in this house would say, he's in my heart. I've put him in my heart. Hallelujah. For those of you that have not, he needs to be in your heart. You need to say, Jesus, Jesus, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I need a deliverer. I need help. And you don't have to wait on him. He's there. He is there. Amen? He's not in a tomb. He's not dead. He is risen, as he said. We can stand here today declaring the things that we declare today because he's alive. Every other god that is worshipped is not alive. But our God is. Our God is. Our God is alive and well, living in us, working in us, working for us, bringing about salvation in every part of our lives. He leads us in victory. He leads us with hope and peace. You see, that was the thing that Mary Magdalene could not find ever. She found no place of peace. She found no place of rest. She found no place where there wasn't the constant barrage of fear. But then Jesus came. Jesus came and set her free. Set her free. Thank you, Lord. Now, it's clear that Mary loved Jesus. It's clear she loved him dearly. It's clear that she would have done anything to be with her Savior and her deliverer, her Lord. But what he had done was so far greater, so far more, so much more. He went to hell for her so he could have her forever. He went to hell for her. He went to hell for you. He went to hell for me. He paid the price in the place of the damned. He did what was necessary. The sacrifice was complete. It was not just the sacrifice that was seen on this earth. It was what took place under this earth. It's what took place underneath in the darkness in the place of the damned. That's what paid the price in full. And then he was raised from the dead. The courts of heaven were satisfied. And he was risen just as he said. My hope is in him. My strength is in him. I cannot live without him. I will not, and I don't have to. Amen? We don't have to live without him. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there are those that say, well, you know, I've been so far away from God, I'm sure he wants nothing to do with me. Not true. Not true. I just believe that Jesus waited right there for Mary to bump into him. I believe he just waited right there to surprise her. Because he knew she wouldn't put two and two together. He knew that she was not expecting him there. There were others in the garden. The guards, they were laid out on the ground like dead men. The angels were there. And they said, Jesus is not. But Jesus was. Jesus was there. And Mary was the first to see him. Mary had a very special place in his heart. He revealed himself to her and spoke to her first. You have a special place in his heart. I have a special place in his heart. You may think you're the favorite. I don't think so. We're all his favorites. There's not a competition here. You know that. I'm just teasing. Jesus is alive. He is alive. And when she had bumped into him and he called her name, she knew his voice. She knew. Only Jesus called her name like that. Only Jesus could say, Mary. For those of us that are married, there's only one person that can say our name in a way that we instantly tune in and we know who it is and we know how they feel about us and how we feel about them. I'm speaking of our spouses. Okay, somebody said, Yes. You may feel that way about your children as well. When you hear their voice, it's different. When Mary heard Jesus' voice, it was different than any other person ever. It was different when she heard his voice. The tenderness was there. The love was there. The genuineness was there. She was special to him and she knew it. You are special to him. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what has happened, you are special to him. Dearly loved by the risen Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for caring for us. We thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed us. You have called us by name. You have purchased us and you have bought our freedom. We are free from every stronghold and every demonic influence because of your love. Perfect love casts out all fear. And Jesus, you are perfect love, and you have cast out fear. You have called us by name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands to him and say thank you. He has redeemed you and called you by name. You are his. You are special. You are prized. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, and we praise you. For your goodness, Lord, we give you thanks. For your mercy, Lord, we give you thanks. For your faithfulness, Lord, we give you thanks. That you were willing to go to the cross for us. That you were willing to go to hell for us. We thank you. And we praise you that you are our risen Lord and Savior. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We honor you today, Lord. We honor you with hands raised, with our hearts full of love for you. We give you place and we say, bless the Lord. And all the people said, amen.